This is Pittsburgh Explainer, a podcast from 90.5 WESA. Every Friday, we help you understand some of the most important news stories from southwestern Pennsylvania. It's Friday, May 29th. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Liz Reed.
And I'm producer Katie Blackley. We're actually taking a break from the news this week, which we'll do from time to time over the summer. Instead, we're bringing you a special episode to usher in the season.
Summer is definitely going to be different this year. No riding roller coasters at Kennywood, no going to Pirates games, no swimming in city pools. But there are some parts of summer that even the coronavirus can't cancel.
Like that perfect summer jam, a song that makes you want to drive around with all the windows down.
Or sitting back and relaxing with a cool cocktail and your feet in the kiddie pool.
And of course, the region's native plants and animals are carrying on as usual. And that's where we'll start this week's episode. Stephen Buckland is with the Pittsburgh Parks Conservancy. I met up with him at Highland Park by the entrance, where we hiked toward Carnegie Lake.
I feel like a lot of the parks have a lot of similar wildlife in terms of like squirrels, chipmunks, deer, a lot of the same birds. What makes Highland Park pretty unique is the amount of water that's present here. We have the reservoir, and then we also have Carnegie Lake. And both of those features attract a lot more birds that prefer to be around water. I left my binoculars at home, but yeah, I'm sure we'll hear a lot of cool birds down here. Yeah, down this way, there's a bird called a red-eyed vireo. They migrate here from South America, so they spend their winters in parts of Brazil, Peru, Ecuador, Venezuela, and they fly all the way to North America in the springtime to breed here. And they're just one of hundreds of migratory species that make us a very similar journey. But they're kind of cool because they do breed here in Pittsburgh, so you'll hear them through the summer. And they're pretty vocal birds. Some birds only sing in the morning for a little while. Red-eyed vireos tend to sing later into the day. Their song is kind of a quick, multi-syllable whistle that's slightly slurred. There's one up here ahead of us, and they kind of say, going up, coming down. Oh, there's another migratory bird singing up here that spends its summer in Pittsburgh. It's a type of warbler. You can hear it singing in the background. This is a yellow warbler. A lot of people describe their song as sweet, 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 I'm so very sweet. So we're working our way around the lake right now. There's some cute baby geese over here near the lake. I think that might be mom hanging out with three of her babies. Last week when I walked down to Carnegie Lake, I was able to observe some bluegill fish that had created nests in the lake. It's really interesting. If you ever go, you can find spots on the bottom of the lake where the mother bluegill has swept away any of the dirt along the bottom and cleared a little circle to lay her eggs in. And then she stays there and guards them and protects them from any other fish or predators that might try to eat them. It's really cool. So you can walk along the lakeshore and find all these little spots that have been cleared out right now. In each one of them, you can find a bluegill hanging out, protecting their eggs. We're gonna find a trail to head back up to the entry garden. So fungi and lichens are another special interest of mine. For those that don't know, lichens, they tend to grow on tree trunks or rocks. Right here along the lake, there's some old fence rails that have a bunch of lichens growing on them. And they're kind of greenish. A lot of people might think they're moss, but if you touch them, they have a different texture than moss. And they can grow in all different kinds of shapes and sizes. I think this one here is the common green shield lichen. Lichens are really interesting because a lot of them are sensitive to air pollution, which is a huge issue for us here in Pittsburgh. So we don't find certain species of lichens here, but there's been a noticeable change in lichen species diversity and abundance since the Clean Air Act. A lot of people just move too fast through nature to notice what's happening. So if you find something interesting, or if you notice something, just pausing to really try to observe the details of it, and also just developing that curiosity of like, what is going on? Like, why is this animal doing this thing?
Katie, what's your all-time favorite summer jam?
Recently, I've gotten back into Janelle Monáe and her song Make Me Feel.
That's just the way you 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 make me feel.
How about you?
It's so hard to pick one. And I know I put you on the spot first, so I have to. You know, one of my favorite things about summer is road trips. So I'm going to say Bruce Springsteen's Born to Run. It just gets me in the mood for flying down the highway in search of things I've never seen and places I've never been.
It's just so hard to put your finger on what makes a good summer jam.
It really is. That's why I went to one of the experts. I met up with WYEP's Selecta, host of Grand Groove Radio, in the backyard of our coworker Brian Sawarik, who lives down the street from him in Lawrenceville.
A good summer jam to me evokes the sun and conjures up feelings of serenity and just peacefulness. It's both tempo and instrumentation. It's a lot of horns, I think more up-tempo. One of my songs that I chose is a house music song. It's by an artist by the name of Sean Escoffrey, and it's a DJ Spinner remix of Days Like This. And the hook is Here Comes the Sun. But it's such a inspirational, good feeling tune that I listen to it every morning. So it's not solely a summer song, but it's a motivational song.
It's here comes the sun.
Another song is actually my favorite song of all time, but done up in a different manner by a crew called Studio Rio. It's the Studio Rio kind of bossa Latin remix of Bill Withers' Lovely Day.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
Every time I play this remix, people go absolutely bananas. And it's perfect for just lounging on the beach, perfect for cookout. It's just an all-around perfect song. And I didn't think it could get any better than the original, but if you check out the Studio Rio remix of Bill Withers' Lovely Day, you'll see what I'm talking about.
When the day the ladder hit up, seemed impossible to face.
And my third selection is a classic from the Gap Band called Outstanding, widely known as the most popular cookout jam. And I'm talking about a full-fledged cookout dance party.
What do you think of when I say the words summer cocktail?
Margaritas, pineapple flavors, citrus.
What about scotch?
No, feels like a wintertime drink.
You know, I thought the same thing, but I went down to Tina's in Bloomfield this week to try some of their cocktails to go, and owner Sarah Schaefer convinced me that scotch could make for a pretty delicious summertime cocktail.
This cocktail was created by Sam Ross, who was a famous bartender in New York City. He did a really great job of studying classic cocktails, and from that, he created the penicillin. It's pretty straightforward. We've got scotch. We use Dewar's White Label here. We blend that with a honey ginger syrup, and I think that honey ginger element really helps to complement the smoke peatiness of the scotch, and then you balance that out with citrus, which really adds that refreshing light element that you're looking for in a summer drink. To me, what makes a summer cocktail is finding the perfect balance between a spirit, a exotic syrup, fruit syrup, things like pineapple and fresh berry, and then mixing those elements with citrus, which are going to make that a much lighter cocktail build. I think it's so important when creating summer cocktails to find a balance, definitely leaning into lighter spirits. But if you are using a heavier spirit, finding a way to balance that with citrus and fruit juices. We often joke here that Negronis pay the bills, and it's true. Negroni is really a foundational cocktail, both here at our bar and across cocktail creation. The Negroni itself is an equal parts cocktail. It consists of gin, Campari, which is going to be a bitter aperitivo from Italy, and sweet vermouth. A white Negroni, which is very summery. It is the sister to the Negroni. We are still using gin as the base, but we are substituting the Campari for a bitter Bianco, which is going to be a less bitter version of Campari. Luxardo is the brand that we use. And then instead of the sweet vermouth, we are using Lillet, which is going to be a fortified white version or fortified white wine. So those three elements are individually much lighter than the original components of the Negroni. So that creates a much lighter, prettier version of the Negroni. We also offer the Jabroni. So the name Jabroni was actually a genius brainstorm between myself and my friend, Nicholas Teodori, who also owns Scum Co. & Sons Skateboard Company. He and I both are huge Negroni fans, and while sitting at the bar here at Tina's, just giggling over Negronis and everything else, we stumbled across the name Jabroni, and it just made so much sense to name our frozen Negroni the Jabroni, especially because if you think about it, freezing a Negroni and offering it in a slushy form is almost kind of a bastardization of that drink. So it's a fun tongue-in-cheek way of making fun of the fact that we took such an important classic cocktail and turned it into a slushy. We also call them lushies here. Tina's itself is named for my mother. She unfortunately passed away several years ago, but the bar is set in 1964, which was her birth year. A big piece of the puzzle here is our jukebox. It's a 45 jukebox. It is curated by myself, including other local music community members, and it is free for guests to use. And we always try to keep, you know, period correct music there. I guess the only thing I would say is that we miss you, Pittsburgh, and we can't wait to wait on you again. Yeah, we really do. We miss bartending, and it's been, I think that's been the most difficult for all of us is, you know, finding a way to engage with our customers that we care so much about.
That's Pittsburgh Explainer for this week. Our show is produced by Katie Blackley. Larkin Page Jacobs is our managing editor. You can find all of our news coverage at our website, WESA.FM, and of course on the air at 90.5 FM. I'm your host, Liz Reed. Thanks for listening. Let's talk next week.